Chariot Solutions TechCast episode 54, part 2 of our interview with Hans Doctor and Adam Murdoch of the Gradle Project. Gradle is an application assembly and build management platform that provides for convention-based build processes like Maven, but also implements a dynamic, Groovy-based scripting and plugin system to make it very easy to customize your builds and perform specific steps at any point along the way. My guests today are Hans Doctor, who's the creator of Gradle, and Adam Murdoch, who's a committer on the project and the CTO of Gradle Inc., a company founded by Hans and Adam to support development teams working with Gradle in the field. In our talk, Hans and Adam also detailed some features coming out in Gradle 0.9, which can be downloaded as a series of daily snapshot builds. If you're looking around for a low-cost tech conference to attend this year, why not come to the Philadelphia Emerging Technologies for the Enterprise Conference on April 8th and 9th? Use the promotional code TECHCAST, all one word, and save $25 on this low-cost conference. Speakers include people like Uncle Bob Martin, Michael Cote, Yehuda Katz, Jeremy Grelli, Dan Allen, Ed Burns, Scott Davis, Venkat Subramanian, and more. We have events such as a rematch of the Web Framework Shootout and both a technical and business-level mobile panel, meetups for Agile Philly, a new Philly Groovy Grails user group being launched at the show, which includes Scott Davis and Venkat Subramanian, and even an evening recording of the TechCast. Don't miss it. Register now at phillyemergingtech.com. Multi-project builds. So tell me how you deal with multi-project builds in Gradle.
Yeah, so first of all, project dependencies are first-class citizens, right? So in Maven there, you declare them the dependency in the same way as an external dependency, right? And then you have the module section where you declare that which modules take part of the multi-project build. So in Gradle, we have project dependencies as a first-class citizen. So you have a project, let's say it's called API, and then you can say, oh, for compile, I have a project dependency on this project called shared, for example, right? That gives us a lot of opportunities to improve behavior in that we treat project dependencies differently than external dependencies. For example, we don't need to deploy them to some local repository and retrieve stuff from there. The other thing is that we allow for arbitrary layout. So the projects taking part in the multi-projects build can live wherever they want. What is different to Maven is that we use something we call configuration injection. So with Maven 2.0, this is going to be changed with Maven 3.0, but with Maven 2.0, you had this inheritance-based approach, right? You had to inherit from some parent pom to share common configuration. And with Gradle, this is much more fine-grained in your root project. You can say, okay, for all the sub-projects, apply the following. Let them be, they are Java projects. They all have JUnit for 4. But then you might as well say, okay, now let's take a smaller subset. Now let's say for all projects that obey to a certain pattern, for example, our web projects, add some configuration to the Jetty plugin. For all non-web projects, do that. For all projects that start with A, do that, right? So you have a very fine-grained way of injecting from your root project the stuff that is shared between a certain subset of projects. And then in the build script of the particular sub-project, you specify what is special, right? But I need, on top of that, I need this and this dependency. And you get the idea. That's how we solve that. Another point is that we have a separate configuration and execution hierarchy. So in Maven, if you have a root project or a parent project, right, which is extended by some child projects, this project is also built before the child project. So in Maven, you can't do stuff like, okay, here I have my parent project, and my parent project, on the one hand, specifies the common stuff for the sub-project. On the other hand, it should build something like a über-distribution, collecting all the zips or all the jars of my sub-projects into one big archive. That wouldn't be possible with Maven, because if a project is used as a parent project, it will be built before the sub-project, right? And then you can't have the über-functionality in there. You would need to introduce a separate project to deal with that problem. And in Cradle, we say, okay, for the configuration, the root project needs to be run first. But for the execution, the child projects are run first. So that's another thing where Cradle is different than Maven.
How about OSGI?
We basically hook in the BND tool from Peter Greens. So that's what our OSGI tool is doing. And so we create a manifest for you. That's what our OSGI plugin is doing. By analyzing the imports of the source files, etc. So basically it's more or less what the Maven Felix plugin is doing. So that might be growing, but that's at the moment what you get. Yeah. So we also the Cradle build, which is now using Cradle. It's also using Bundler for some reasons. it's because Bundler is a good tool, and it's from the Spring Source ecosystem, and that's also easily supported.
Right.
So,
great.
So for the Grails, we have a Bundler plugin for just for the Grails build, but it's not kind of, for some reason we haven't published it yet as an official plugin. So this stuff is easy to add. So the thing is, Cradle makes it so easy to use end tasks. So if you have, and there's the Bundler end tasks, right? So it's very easy to write a Cradle plugin, which just is a tiny wrapper around some end task, but adding some built by convention logic to it, right? Some pre-configuration. So for everything you have an end task, stuff is extremely simple to integrate into the Cradle world.
Oh wow! So you can basically take an existing Ant script and just start chunking pieces of it away, and converting them over to Gradle.
That's another thing. So one thing is using the Ant tasks, right? And the other thing is that you can import any Ant build. So you can say, hey, I want to import that Ant build, and that Ant build becomes a Gradle project, and every Ant target is wrapped with a Gradle task, right? It's a very deep integration. This end build can be part of a multi-project build. You can add functionality to it from Cradle. You can read class paths or whatever properties from the end build. You can even inject stuff into the end build. You could even say, okay, I set some property to that end build. So that's our end integration is extremely powerful. That way you can also very smooth way migrate from end builds to Cradle, which is another interesting topic, migrating the build.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up next. I mean, certainly that's a great starting point for someone who has an existing Ant script and that wants to move over and start to add functionality to the build that's obviously more dynamic in nature and more flexible. What about for Maven projects? Is there something kind of a similar path or?
We don't allow for importing Maven projects yet, but it's high priority. So especially with Maven 3, this will become much easier to do, because Maven 3 is very has a strong focus on integration with other tools. So and this is something we're working on, and there should be some results of that soon.
Great, that's great news.
We don't have that yet. On the other hand, importing Maven builds, because there's a certain few of the world, is migrating Maven builds is relatively straightforward. So it's much easier usually to migrate a Maven build to Cradle than to migrate a custom Ant build, which has less structure, right? But we will allow to import Maven builds soon, but not yet.
Same with projects that are using Ivy and Ant. We don't yet let you import your ivy.xml for your project or your ivy-settings.xml directly, but we plan on doing that soon too, in a similar sort of way. So you can start migrating by importing your Ant build and it just does all the work. Then you can start moving, you can leave your dependencies in your ivy.xml and start moving some of the tasks across, and then finally move your dependencies. Or the other way around, you can move your dependencies in and inject them into the Ant build. So there's lots of good options there.
Well, I mean, what I like about Cradle is that you've got the you know, you've got the convention there, you know, so you can stick with the conventional build where you put things in the right directories and turn on the right plugins, but then you have the power of something like Ant, but in a much more expressive, groovy style. So, you know, it, it's kind of like a good meld of both options from what I see.
I think that's one thing which is interesting with Maven, that that Maven is the only build tool I know that doesn't use a directed acyclic graph, right? The richness of such a graph, but replacing it with some here we have a life cycle and you can hook in a kind of a hook in list of goals, right? So that's and we think such a graph is such a rich model for defining execution behavior. And so, yeah,
it's rich, but it's also very simple.
So that's something that people love when they come from the Ant world, and probably many of them miss when they come to the Maven world. So that's something they have when they go with Gradle. And one thing I find really interesting to talk about is migrating a build. So that's oftener. So imagine you have a big enterprise build and you want to migrate it to some other build tool, right? So and let's say this is an Ant build which has a number of assumptions, which has a certain layout, project layout, et cetera, et cetera. So and it is anyway challenging to migrate such a build. And we have done this now a couple of times, and our approach was to say, okay, we can't tell the people, oh, the build is on hold for 3 months, right? You can't build for 3 months or whatever. So our approach is to say, okay, let's do baby steps. Let's use the flexibility of Gradle to completely adapt to the input structure of the end build, right? Whether we think it's good or bad doesn't matter, right? We completely adapt to what is there. So we have a parallel Gradle build. And you don't have, but they both run against the same structure. So you don't have to create a branch for your Gradle migration, right? And rearrange your source layout. We just adapt to what is there, and Gradle is always capable of doing that. And then we develop the Gradle build in parallel to the Ant build, which is also still under maintenance, and we write a couple of integration tests to check, okay, are the archives produced by the Ant build are the same as the archives produced by the Gradle build, right? And that way, even though the Ant build is continuously developed, you always have a very reliable feedback, is the Gradle build still doing the same? And at one point, you say, okay, we're done with the Gradle build. It offers all the functionality of the Ant build, and we have integration test that confirms that. So now let's send a Gradle build live, and then from there you can look, okay, now how should we improve the layout or blah 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 blah. But this allows for extremely smooth migration. And if the alternative would be to say, okay, we branch that, we tear everything apart to fulfill the requirements of another build tool, right? And such a migration is really hard. And and once you send this migrated build live, I'm sure the developers are usually kind of alpha or beta testers for quite a while, right? So this is a very disruptive way of migrating versus doing baby steps and using the flexibility of Gradle to adapt to any custom build that is there. And then you send the Gradle build live, and then you can go from there to do further improvements.
Okay. So going to a couple of the topics before we end, the first question I'm thinking of here around kind of management in the wild is continuous integration tools and repository managers. How do you hook into those, and what kind of support do you have for those types of things?
Yep. So, continuous integration tools. For Hudson, there's a Gradle plugin, for example, but there's no Gradle plugin so far for Bamboo. So what you can always do with Gradle is use the Gradle wrapper. The Gradle wrapper is something you can let Gradle generate, and then you submit it to version control, a couple of wrapper scripts, and then you can run your Gradle build, even if Gradle is not installed on your machine. So if you execute a wrapper script, you use it the same way as the Gradle command. You just have an additional W. This wrapper script will automatically download the Gradle distribution, put it in the user home directory, and then delegates the build to this downloaded distribution. So you can run your Gradle build that way from any CI server, right? So in that respect, that's the easiest way to integrate. And then there is a lot of work. There's a lot of work in progress. So we have the Hudson plugin. People are working on the TeamCity plugin. So those are to provide some deeper integration. So for example, to hook into the listeners of the CI machine to provide some nicer output and stuff like that. So that would be the advantage of a particular plugin, which can provide a deeper integration with the CI tool than just the Gradle wrapper, which is just executed as a shell script from a CI point of view. Repository managers, we play nicely with Artifactory as well with Nexus out of the box, but we have a cooperation with the Artifactory team, so they have now written an Artifactory Gradle plugin, which you can simply hook in into your build script to provide some very easy setup for working with Artifactory, and much more is planned regarding the interaction between Gradle and Artifactory to provide some deep integration for some special features Artifactory has. And the other question was how Gradle is used in the wild. That means by other projects, right?
Yeah, as we start kind of, you know, talking about the environment that Gradle runs in and development projects. So, yeah. But before we go there, we want to ask a bit about tools. So I when I'm looking at the documentation, I saw there's kind of a way to bring up a graphical interface for Gradle. I guess the first question is, like, what is that? And then talk a little bit about the IDEs that you're running it in.
Right. What comes with Gradle out of the box is a standalone UI runner, the Gradle UI, how we call it. So you just say Gradle dash dash a GUI, and you get some Swing app, which has many nice features. You can add your favorites, and you have a complete selection of the task of a multi-project build with a nice preview, etc., etc. So that comes out of the box. IntelliJ 9 has built-in Gradle support, but it is kind of limited at the moment. But there is code already out there, which is not released yet, which will add a lot of functionality to that IntelliJ Gradle plugin. I hope this is going to happen in the next weeks.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, because I was experimenting with Gradle on a project. I was using the IntelliJ EAP, and I was able to actually open the project, detect the Gradle facet, and then I could right-click on pieces of the build and run them. So that was
and
nice.
The Gradle jar is automatically in the class path. So, but yeah, but there's more to come. And in particular, IntelliJ has this Wicked GDSL. So it's a domain-specific language for describing Groovy-based domain-specific languages. So in that way, we will eventually have content assistant within closures and stuff like that. For example, you're configuring, configuring a jar task, and then you get all the options you Gradle provides. So that's something people have started to work on. So let's see when we have the first results. Eclipse is a different topic because the Groovy support work for Eclipse was kind of for a long time was not so exciting, and now the Spring Source guys, the IDE guys have taken over, and it's now really nice. There's now really nice Groovy support in Eclipse, but we haven't. There is no Eclipse plugin for Gradle yet. René is working on that. He has some some first prototype going. So let's see when we can release something there.
But doesn't it create the .eclipse and .classpath files
Yeah,
for
we,
you?
We do that. But from within the IDE, triggering Gradle builds is not possible yet unless you use the external tools.
So you can build a build with Gradle, then tell it to generate the Eclipse project,
yes,
and use Eclipse to edit the project, but you'd still have to compile command line for now with
yes,
Gradle.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. And is anyone working on NetBeans support at this point?
Oh, no. Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Okay. Good. All right. So then in terms of being in the wild, people using Gradle, who are some of the major people using Gradle for their builds today that you're allowed to talk about?
The major people are big enterprise builds who really feel the pain you might have with other build tools. So performance wise, maintenance-wise, etc. So there's, for example, I guess you know the company Carrier, this air conditioning company. Yeah, so it's a big company in the US. They are using, they have a big Gradle build with many million lines of code. There's a Canadian bank, FCC, which also have a 600 sub-project built, and they just migrated to Gradle. So our first adopters are the big enterprise builds because they really feel the pain. But now more and more other open source projects are going for Gradle. So we have Grails. Groovy also plans to migrate to Gradle. A couple of weeks ago they made the decision on the dev list. And there's GPath to Groovy Parallelizer project. There is web services, there's Spock, the testing framework. So there's Mockito. So there are a couple of projects, open source projects also using Gradle. So it's used in the wild heavily. So despite that it's not 1.0 yet.
It sounds like you're gaining a lot of momentum there in the open source community.
Right.
Can you tell us about the roadmap, where you're going? What is the aspect in Gradle that you want to accomplish or achieve before you mark it as a 1.0 release?
I think our main goal is to get a good solid core of APIs that we're happy with and the DSL. We're probably not that focused on adding breadth, I don't think. So thousands and thousands of plugins. I think if we have a good solid core, those will appear. And now we've lowered the threshold to writing plugins and sharing plugins. I think that'll just organically happen. We want to. I guess there's a few features. We certainly want to focus a bit more on performance. So start getting a bit of parallelism in there. So parallel build execution, parallel test execution, because tests are often the bottleneck, things like that. Probably some more IDE support would be good. But it's really just about making the APIs and as a consequence, the DSL really solid.
Gradle is production ready for quite a while. The main reason why it's not 1.0 is that we don't fully guarantee API stability. So we take it already pretty serious, and we try to deprecate stuff if we change it, right? Not break stuff, but we at least have the right to break some stuff if we think the burden is too high, right? To continue to support it. So that's the only reason why we're not at 1.0. But after the 9 release, which is coming soon, we try to tackle the 1.0, and then promise the API stability for what is there. But even now, it's nothing people should be too afraid of, because we don't break anything lightly. Usually we deprecate it, and only it's pretty exceptional if we break stuff at the current state.
We also take quality very seriously. So we have a lot of integration tests which run all the time. So all of our snapshots are high quality, and the releases, they work well. It's not production. It's certainly production quality. It really is just the API stability that is the reason why it's not 1.0 yet.
Mm-hmm. And you have a Gradle .biz here, or Gradle Inc., I guess is the label on the website. So you have support for Gradle for people who need it, correct?
Yes, correct. So we provide consulting. We just delivered our first trainings in London. We provide custom development. So yeah, so the classical things you would expect from a support company around an open source project, right? It's employee owned. So that's basically by me and Adam, and yeah. That's what we offer, and yeah, we have our first happy customers. So again, it's because many Gradle users come from the enterprise. So, and that's also where people ask for this kind of services, right? So.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So then people who want to find out more can go to gradle.org. You've got a cookbook. You've got all the API documentation online. It's a pretty quick download. Are there other places? Is there a place where you can look at community contributions, like the different plugins and such? Would it be the mailing list you go to, or a wiki? Or
we're starting to collect on the wiki the various plugins that people have written that are out there in the wild. The mailing lists are also a good place if you want to tell people about and to advertise what you've done and get help. But basically everything, if you go to gradle.org, everything's reachable from there, about how to get in touch with us, and how to get involved, how to get help.
There's there's one thing I would like to talk about. If you were, one feature we think is really, really exciting and is part of O9 already is the incremental build. So if you are doing a Maven or end build, I'm pretty sure you usually always do clean something, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think this is the way it should work?
Well, naively I say no, but I guess I'm on the right track. Yes.
Yeah, yes. So that's one major reason for performance bottlenecks, right? We think the current build tools are not smart enough in figuring out what has been done already in the last build, right? And what needs to be done now, but in a very reliable way. Such an incremental build only makes sense if it's really reliable. And we're very excited about our incremental build, so which goes a long way to be very, very smart about checking what really has changed. And only does what is necessary. So with Gradle, you finally have a reliable build without doing a clean. We hash all the contents of the inputs of a certain task and of the outputs, check if stuff has changed, and even properties like source compatibility of the compile task. If that has changed in the next build, we re-trigger the task. If it hasn't changed, we don't do it. And it's generic functionality, so it's extremely easy for the custom tasks you write yourself to where you just say those are my input values, those are my output values, and off we go. You take part in this incremental build functionality, and that is such a major time saver for big builds, and that's one of the big features of the O9 release, which I think is pretty exciting, and people will really enjoy that.
Well, we see a big benefit from it. Just building Gradle itself, it makes a huge difference when say the documentation's already been built, and you do a pre-check-in build. Gradle doesn't have to build that stuff. It's really good when you're trying to get ready to do a check-in and you're fixing maybe some functional tests, and the test itself is broken. You don't need to do a clean and start from scratch to get everything working again. You just Gradle figures out that everything up to the integration tests have been built and executed, so it doesn't need to do any of that stuff and just jumps in straight from what's changed, which is the test itself.
So if you grab the Gradle 0.9 snapshot, you'll get that?
You'll get that, yes.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, gentlemen, it's been great talking to you about Gradle. We will definitely put links up in the show notes for people who want to read more and kind of direct them out to the Gradle.org site and to various links. You guys can feel free if you want to submit a few things to us to put on the show notes. That'd be great. Hans Doctor and Adam Murdoch, thank you so much for being on the TechCast today.
Yes, thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks a lot for the invitation.
Thanks again to Hans Doctor and Adam Murdoch for coming on the show and discussing Gradle with us. You can find out more about the project by navigating to Gradle.org. Also, check our show notes. This is TechCast episode 53. You can find all of our episodes on TechCast.ChariotSolutions.com. For the TechCast, I'm Ken Rimple.